The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we beseech thee graciously to behold this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was contented to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men and to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 52nd and 53rd chapters of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord, the tract.
Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men, who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have proposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. I said to the Lord, "You are my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence."
The Holy Gospel according to the Passion of St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters. Praise to you, O Christ. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all, but you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, king of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went in again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
text is from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. So he shall sprinkle many nations, kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The end of Isaiah chapter 52 and the entirety of chapter 53 presents to us Jesus as the suffering servant. This is Isaiah's account of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. It includes the description of Jesus' suffering and death. It explains that their brutality to him resulted in him being marred more than any man. He was despised and rejected. It describes his death with the wicked, that is, the thieves, and his being placed in the grave of a rich man, Arimathea, the man from Arimathea, Joseph. It even explains that despite this death, the suffering servant shall see his seed. That is, without saying the word resurrection, Isaiah says that after the suffering and the death, the Lord shall prolong his days. The prophet Isaiah was not satisfied to simply present to us an account of the events, great though it is. He also wishes to clearly reveal to us the purpose and the meaning behind the suffering servant's death. He says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed." Simply put, Jesus didn't suffer and die. He suffered and died for me, for you. He was carrying our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, and our iniquities. He did not die for his own, but for my sins and your sins. Tonight, I wish to draw attention to the beginning words of tonight's reading. It reads this way, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently." Prudence. It involves not only intelligence, but the proper application of intelligence. Prudence involves wisdom in planning for the future regarding some purpose, some particular end which needs to be reached. Now, there are times that we make rash decisions about the present, only to realize that they were actually harmful to us overall. Maybe it would be like the decision to take out a payday loan. It might result in an immediate solution to your cash shortage. But later on, the situation will be much worse, as you cannot pay back either the loan or the inflated interest. Similarly, in church, many have given up the hard work of teaching the faith. They've given it up for the emotionality of a revivalist worship. They attract the emotional, but then they never get them past that. The Lutherans who adopt contemporary worship of the Reformed don't make more Lutherans. They just join the Reformed in making more Reformed. They entertain, but they don't inform disciples of Christ. We might look at Jesus' choice, the cross. We may look at the offense of the cross and think that God should have used something better to attract believers. A popular saying is, you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Some think that the distinguishing of law and gospel, the preaching of doctrine, it's just too difficult a thing. And finally, they think that preaching of the cross is foolishness. It's foolishness to the world. It's true. However, Isaiah says that Jesus acted prudently. Isaiah speaks about the result which was accomplished by means of Christ's death on the cross. The result of our Lord's passion is found in verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. First of all, the reference to sprinkling has to do with forgiveness, and that's connected with the Old Testament sacrifices. Hebrews 9, verse 13, is telling us about the Day of Atonement as it's recorded in Leviticus 16. And here's what it says. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh..." That's the connection, the sprinkling that was done in the Old Testament. And now what do we have? The death of Jesus Christ. Because of it, many nations have been sprinkled. That is, they have come to be included in receiving Christ's atonement. They have come to receive the forgiveness of sins that is earned by Christ. In the Old Testament, in the Psalter, Psalm 2, it speaks about the normal reaction of kings and the powerful governing authorities. It says in verse 2, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And yet, Isaiah knows, he lets us know, that the actions of the suffering servant will have the result that kings will shut their mouth at him. These kings will shut their mouth in a believing astonishment. They will be astonished at the great love that they are shown by the suffering servant who takes upon him the sins of the world. Now the Gentile kings, they didn't know. They didn't know that this had always been God's plan. Only the Jews had been given the word of God. They should have seen it coming. But when the Gentiles see what they had not been told, Isaiah says they come to believe. Our Lord's suffering and death will give them pause, and then they will consider it. They will consider, they will look into this salvation by grace through faith in the Son of God, the one who became our suffering servant. So do we find that this was a prudent thing to do? Oh, why, yes, it was. The gospel has gone out into the entire world. Nations have been converted. The church consists of believers being found in every nation of the world. At several places, Isaiah says that the Heavenly Father was pleased not only with his Son's obedient suffering and death, but he is also pleased with how this plan prospered. Verse 10 and 11, it says this, "Yes, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." You see, after his death, the Heavenly Father raised up his Son and let him see the fruits of his labors. Through faith in this suffering servant, many have been justified by grace through faith. This was a prudent plan, and it did exactly what it was intended to do. It brought salvation to many. Finally, Isaiah tells us that this suffering servant, I quote, shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Isaiah speaks of a threefold exaltation for the Son. Our Jesus was raised on a cross on Good Friday that he might be our atoning sacrifice. He was raised up from the dead that we might know that this prudent sacrifice secured our redemption price. And finally, having accomplished his task, he was exalted to the very highest, to the right hand of the Father in his ascension. Though we might be able to think of short-term solutions, other ill-advised plans, none of these could provide what our Savior provided for us. The prudent plan of our suffering servant has justified many. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Our plans and ideas would be of no effect. They would only rob the one and only prudent plan of its prosperity. And that was eternal salvation. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Galatians 6:14, "God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.
The bidding prayer is found in the front part of your hymnal, page 276. We stand.
Let us pray for the whole church that our Lord God would defend her against all assaults and temptations of the adversary, and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout all nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for all the ministers of the word and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for our catechumens, that our Lord God would open their hearts and the door of his mercy, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, they may be mindful of their baptism and throughout their lives remain faithful to Christ Jesus our Lord.
Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that recalling the new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of man, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world. We humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor of this state, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of those who labor, may the prayer of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you, graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and loving God and his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and gather them into his family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for our enemies, that God would remember them in mercy and graciously grant them such things as are both needful for them and profitable to their salvation.
O Almighty and everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have committed us to love our you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance and may have the same love and be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Let us pray for the fruit of the earth, that God would send down the blessing upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy them according to his own good will.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you still continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may dwell in our hearts, and we may, by your grace, be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and those things that pertain to our bodily needs. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Hymn 111.
Oh, the reproaches.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people,
holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy.
Holy Lord
Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer. God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy.
From Nazareth, destined heaven.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, through the Son, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in the eating of your body and the drinking of your blood, we remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come and receive the body and blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul into everlasting life. Amen. Blood of Christ, which was shed for me, preserve my body and soul into everlasting life. Amen. I will depart in peace. Amen. The body of Christ for you.
My God, look upon me. Why have you forsaken me? And are so far from my house, and from the words of my complaint.
Depart in peace.
I am a worm and no man, reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not depart from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly.
remembrance of my complaint.
The blood of Christ for you. The blood of Christ for you. The blood of Christ.
Put us past our lips as food, O Lord. May we possess in purity of heart that what is given us in time be our healing for eternity.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.